Բարի երեկո, սիրելի հայրենագիցներ եւ ռադիո ունգընթիրներ, Ամերիկայի հայկական համակոմարի շաբաթական ռադիոժամին։ Խոսափողի մոտն է Միհրան Թումաճյան, Ամերիկայի հայկական համակոմարի արևմտյան շրջանի տնօրեն։ Այսօր շատ բացառիկ հյուրեր ունենք։ Առաջին հյուրս է Տիգին Անի Հովանիսյան, որ դարիները գսպաղի հայկական մշակութային մեր արժեքներու պայպայման և լուսապանման մեջ, և Տիգին Անին ֆիլմմեյքեր է, շարժապատկերներ գարդատրե, և այսօր պիտի խոսինք իր ամենա նոր կինոյի, մուվիի մասին, որ գոչվի The Hidden Map, վաբերակրական կինոմն է, որ վերջերս լույս տեսած է, և այս շաբաթ վերջին, ուրբաթ շաբաթ կիրակի, պիտի լույս տեսնե NBC LX գայանին վրա քանիցս անգամ, և այդ օր մասին կարդատարնանք մեր հարցազրույցի մեջ։ Հիմա պիտի Անին ներկայացնեմ անգլերեն լեզվով և սկսենք մեր զրույցը։ The Armenian Assembly of America Radio Hour is honored to have with us this evening as our first guest, director, producer, filmmaker Ani Hovhannisyan. Hovhannisyan just completed her first feature documentary called The Hidden Map. It's born of the destruction and resilience of a now-gone generation of genocide victims and survivors. Hovhannisyan's film chronicles the joint journey of an Armenian-American in search of her forbidden ancestral roots and a lone Scottish explorer she meets along the way. Together, they dig beneath the surface of modern-day Turkey, uncovering buried secrets, silent stories, and The Hidden Map, which is the title of the film. The film will air nationwide, not just here in Los Angeles, but nationwide, on the NBCLX network. It will air this weekend, the weekend that Armenians commemorate the Armenian Genocide, on April 24. Prior to any public screenings, The Hidden Map was selected by several film festivals, earning Best Documentary and Audience Choice Awards, among others. Most recently, Ani Hovhannisyan was honored as a finalist for the Humanitarian Award in the 2020 Accolade Global Film Competition. Ani's biography is quite prolific. I want to get into our conversation very quickly, but before I do, it would be remiss of me if I didn't mention that Ani is a member of the Directors Guild of America, the Television Academy, and the International Documentary Association. She is a graduate, graduated summa cum laude, and Phi Beta Kappa from UCLA and USC, with degrees in mass communications and broadcast journalism. She and her husband Armenio have two children, Sofin and Daron, named after the native Armenian lands of their great-grandparents. Ani Hovhannisyan, it is an honor to have you on the Armenian Assembly of America Radio Hour. Pari Yegak.
Well, thank you so very much, Mihran. It's a true pleasure to be here. Yev hayeren et inch keretzige lisetzi yevesiu wow, Mihran, abris. Tishpachtapar hostzunat hostmetzad im hayerenes ades lavakuinche fresnometzad amerikan tibrotskatzad uremen ներղամիտ գլակ երևի, որ ավելի անգլերենով պիտի խոսենք այսօր, եթե գուզեք հայերեն, գճանամ հայերեն արդահայտվիլ,
but... Ուրիշ անգամը գհրավիրեմ, հայերենով գզեք ուծենք.
Շատ շատ լավ, but thank you very much, Miran. I'm happy to be here, and thank you for your introduction.
So let's get right into it, Ani. You have worked painstakingly over the last few years to complete the documentary. You had quite a bit of footage from your trip to Western Armenia, to our homeland, and you met Mr. Sim along the way, the Scottish explorer. Please tell us how this project was born in the first place.
I think this project was probably born when I was born, because I was born to survivors, as many of us were, of the, well, grandparents. My grandparents were survivors of the genocide, and I remember growing up in Los Angeles, but we would go back every weekend to Fresno, to 3312 Low Avenue, where Babi Hovagim of Erzurum and Mami Chunguhi of Ordu lived. And it was this old Armenian neighborhood, a microcosm of historic Armenia. And as we grandchildren would play hide-and-seek on the front lawn and jump over bushes and Red Rover, Red Rover, this generation of survivors would get together on the porch. And they didn't really, they didn't make us listen to it. They didn't try to fill us with their trauma, but somehow we understood it seeped into us. Their unspeakable pain and loss and trauma seeped into us. And they were there kind of navigating the pain of the past and their hope for the future. And they did everything in their power to give us a golden childhood, which they did. So my grandmother, I remember just with these silent tears, and my grandfather Hovagim with screaming nightmares through the night. Those lived in us, as did the testimony of many of the 1,000 survivors of the genocide, whom my father Richard Hovhaniston at UCLA. Was able to document the testimony of before they passed on. So these stories have always been in me, and they've made me. They haven't disabled me. They've enabled me. They've made me stronger. And I knew that one day I would tell our story. I've always been very curious. I've always been a documenter. I've always known that we really can't just abandon our past. Some people say it's easier just to live well and nicely, and sure it is, but there's something very important and meaningful about knowing where we come from. And to really understand that, I had to go back to our beginnings. It was my father, Richard, who said in 2012, it took him his entire life, actually, to get prepared somehow internally to face it. My father has known this story, has lived it all his life.
Inside and out.
And I think it was just too painful and traumatic for him to face most of his life. But he did go. And he then was the one who said to me, Ani Yertank. And I, of course, said yes. And that was in 2012. I cannot explain the impact of that journey, which became the first of several journeys, because every time I go, I realize more and more that I am just touching the surface, and there is so much yet to discover, and it is not dead history. It is not gone. It is not something we should forget and abandon. And certainly not when we want the world to remember, and certainly not when we say Merne. We have to know and care and know what's there and know who's there. It was during my second trip in 2013 that we were in Gesaria in an old Armenian home, and I had my consumer camera with me, as I always do, and I was videotaping and photographing with great zeal, and I saw this man who was clearly not Armenian, and he was very professionally taking photographs of every nook and cranny of the insides of this Armenian home of Gesaria. And I thought to myself, who is he? So when I thought it, I asked him, and he kind of looked at me perplexed, saying, who are you asking me who I am? But he told me, my name is Stephen Sim. Turns out this is a man who had spent the last 30 years of his life documenting what's left of the vanishing traces of our Armenian past. This is a man who had gone there as a college student doing a project on medieval architecture. He had heard that there's medieval architecture in eastern Turkey, and he said, okay, I'll go there. It's not as overdone as Europe, and it's not as expensive as Europe. Little did he know that he would stumble upon this lost world that he would then make his own, because he realized that there these relics, magnificent relics, are standing there in ruin, of course, but with such majesty and so stoically, and with nobody to touch them or claim them. And he claimed them not really as his own, but just document them, because he realized year after year that these relics of the Armenian past, and the more he went, the more he learned about our civilization and our creation and destruction there. But every year that he returns, he documents the continuing natural and intentional destruction of what's left of historic Armenia. When I met this man, you know, I had gone back on a personal, what's personal to all of us, to most of us don't go, and I understand it. It's taboo. It's difficult. It's traumatic. Some people don't want to go because they say they're not going to give a penny to the Turkish economy. Well, it's way more than that. It's much deeper than that. And if we don't, in my mind, if we don't go, touch, see, feel, learn what's ours, then who are we to claim it? Who are we to call out? It's mine.
Such a key point you made there, that, you know, if we are going to reclaim that which is ours, which is still standing, right? Certain churches are still standing, although some are in horrible condition due to erosion or looting, man-made destruction. But if we don't go and if we don't reclaim it, then how do we justify, right, that this is our this is our forbearance. This is our our history. This is our living, breathing history, as you mentioned. You mentioned that your eminent father, Professor Richard Hovhannisyan, chronicled the lives of so many survivors while he was a professor at UCLA, and then later got those videos digitized through the USC Shoah Foundation. What you're doing is in many ways a chronicling of our ancient history, of our treasures. The way you're doing it certainly has a bit more risk involved, because you are physically in Western Armenia, in our homeland, right? You are in Eastern Turkey today. Tell us a little bit about, you know, in 2012 was your first trip. Then you met Stephen Sim in 2013. What happened after you met him? Did it come to fruition? The actual footage and the actual weaving together of the narrative, did it come shortly after you met Stephen Sim?
It happened with time. When I met this man, I didn't let him go, and I followed him everywhere. And he doesn't really talk to people. He's more interested in the relics. So he avoids all the people who were there. He kind of wants to be invisible. He's not so much about the human interaction. I think since we have met, he has become more about the human interaction with people like me, who understand him. He still avoids the people of the place, of the land there, because he thinks it's the relics that tell the story. But what happened is I followed him as much as I could that year, and I kept in touch with him and gained his trust. And we have, as different as we are, and our perspectives are very different, we have really a lot in common. Our interest and our core purpose is the same. And I convinced him to set out together. So we did that the following year. And we didn't do it with a crew. I did have my friend Peter Mastrillian, who's a cameraman. This is all volunteer. But my friend Sharon Chaikijian, a small group of us went. And I had this, at this point, I had this vision of doing a documentary that really followed Steve, because I thought, well, I don't want this to be an Armenian story. It is an Armenian story, but it's a universal story. And if we tell it through his lens, through his perspective, and it's, what a wonderful lens. I mean, he's taken 100,000 pictures and continues to, and he takes us to places that nobody else ever would know. But I thought that's just an ideal way to tell our story. So we trekked, we climbed to remote mountaintops and into caves and and yes, into dangerous terrain. I mean, we had
gorges, right? Some gorges. Yeah.
Yes. And you're right. It's not so safe, but when you're in it, I'm in it. I don't think that. And I also think I have something in me where I say to myself, I don't say it, it just is. If my grandparents and yours, ours, were able to live through the hell, the torture, the impossible
the death marches,
situations
yes.
that they were put yes. in, and start anew in this land or in whatever lands they ended up in, and to start anew and give us life, then who am I to be afraid to go and see where I come from? It's so minuscule in comparison, yeah. if one compares to what they endured. So I almost feel like it's mine. I do still feel like that's my home. And in a lot of ways, I feel like we still have a connection to that land. I'm not one who says, oh, that's forsaken land and I'm never going to those Turks or those Muslims, or I'm not going to see them, I'm not going to face them. Yeah, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. It's the hardest thing you'll do to go and look in those eyes of people and say, are you the ones, is it your grandparents who killed mine? Or perhaps are you among those who maybe saved Armenians altruistically or not? So our journey became...
Or there's a third one as well. Are you a hidden Armenian, right?
That,
are you
yes,
the grandchild or the great-grandchild of a survivor who was Islamized ultimately, right? You have that dimension as well.
I was getting to that, and I didn't get to that because I wanted to say that during our excursions and discoveries that were they were intense. They weren't. You don't go to restaurants and sit down. You're on the soil for 16 hours a day sometimes and more. And he was all about the structures. I was about the people also. And I would interview people. I would approach people, not interview, just talk to them. Who are you? Where are the Armenians? Have you heard of Armenians? What are these crosses? What are these ruins? What is this? What have you heard? And it was shocking to hear how many people, some of course said, oh, I don't know, or oh, the Armenians were bad, or oh, Armenians left, but so many, it feels like, live with the burden of the wrongs of their forebears and almost feel like they need redemption. And even though it is, you are not allowed to talk about the genocide in Turkey, people talked about it putting their own safety in danger, risking their own safety. I mean, they could go to jail for doing that. So that was a huge, kind of almost a lift off my soul. And I think we need that. I think we don't see that. I think we grow up just hearing, being so resentful of Turkey for denying the genocide and for the world for forgetting it and think that all Turks are bad. But it isn't the case. And when you go there and you encounter that, you say, well, maybe there is a ray of hope. And the greatest discovery, as you say, is when I came across people who unsolicited said to me, my grandmother was Armenian. Her name was Khache, like a cross.
Yeah.
But she was taken in by Turks and she became a Muslim, but she never forgot she was Armenian. And now her grandchildren know that and they carry this with them. And there is this kind of hunger, this thirst that they feel to claim their Armenian identity.
That's truly amazing. And you know, we only have less than a minute, Ani. I'd like for our listening audience to know that your film, The Hidden Map, will be airing on NBCLX.
Yes,
your listeners, please. Starting Friday evening, April 23, from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 to 5 Pacific. You can watch it also on Saturday, April 24, 9 to 10 here on the West Coast, Pacific Time, and also 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. So that's 9 to 10 a.m., 6 to 7 p.m. You can also watch it on April 25th, 1 to 2 a.m. Pacific, 3:30 to 4:30 Pacific, and 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday, April 25th. Dear listeners, NBCLX can be viewed for free on broadcast TV and cable. It streams live on Roku and Peacock as well. You could go to lx.com/live, and you could also look for listings in your area at www.lx.com/where-to-watch. Again, this is on the NBCLX network throughout the country. It's Ani Hovhannisyan's The Hidden Map documentary film, which explores Ani and all Armenians' ancestry in the homeland in Western Armenia, and I'm sure this is going to be a treat for all of us this weekend. So please tune in when your time permits. Ani, I would love to have you back, perhaps for an Armenian interview in the weeks and months ahead. Meanwhile, thank you very much for this labor of love that you have devoted so many years, and it's now a reality, your wonderful documentary, and we look forward to viewing it this weekend. Thank you for joining us.
I look forward to journeying together. Thank you.
Wonderful. Shinra Gatun. And dear listeners, we will be back right after the commercial break. Manatsek Mezhed.